Well, okay, let's jump on in, hey? Glad you guys are here. Last week, we've been going through Exodus from 20,000 feet. We're jumping through a number of verses, trying to follow the course of their life, not only their life, but also God's work in delivering them. And so today, we're going to see two things. We're going to see Moses and his first attempt, which we basically already saw that, but his first attempt to get the people delivered. He was met with a resounding no, and Pharaoh increased the pressure. And so God's got to deal with his heart. If God's calling you into anything, you need to know this. There's the big picture. God's always doing a big picture in the world, and we're dealing with that today, but he's also doing the picture in your lives. And in each one of our lives, we are moving into something. We just had a sister up here that was moving into a new season in their life of dealing with an illness that 2 weeks ago didn't know she had. And so we're always moving forward. And so God has to deal with us because we learn about God in degrees. Whatever you think you know about God right now, you only know a partial part. You only understand a partial part. When trouble comes, which is the big aha times in our life to know God differently, then we have to deal with God in a different way, and we learn things about him in that. The second thing that God is dealing with is the people. They have been in slavery. They have been under a Pharaoh for 400 plus years. Their mentality is jacked up. And what they're facing is when they went in and Moses' plea to Pharaoh did not work, that rocked their personal world. And now they have to look at their own selves, and God's going to deal with them in how they have to change the way they think. And this is the way they think, which oftentimes is the way we think. They were willing to have security. Oh, Pharaoh kept them as slaves. They had to work 7 days a week, but they had a roof over their head. Whenever the enemy is going to mess with us, there is always the exchange he wants. Your freedom for a little security. And that's what we're battling in our own country, is this tossing back and forth between how much freedom do we give up to get how much security. And that is an ongoing issue throughout the generations. The Israelites, when they were denied freedom, they got mad at Moses, the deliverer, because their lives got harder. So what did Pharaoh do? He said, you're going to suffer more, but don't worry, you'll be secure. You'll still have your house. You'll still have the things we allow you to have. And freedom is always dangerous because then you have to make choices. We deal a lot with recovery here. And the hard part of recovery isn't God delivering you from the substance. It's learning how to live differently. How to make choices you don't make when you're in bondage. I've talked to many women that were in abusive relationships, and they wanted to get out of them, but there was a security being in them. And that security, whether it's the kids or the finances or whatever it was a challenge to the freedom of what am I going to do if this thing changes? Some of us stay in jobs we hate. It kills our freedom. It kills our ability to create things. It doesn't fit, but we stay in that because there's a security to it. And so this is the same situation every generation goes through. And most fear is based on security or lack thereof security. Oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? That's where we meet God. Because when we learn to put our security in greater degrees in God, one of the byproducts of that is we get greater freedom. We get to do more stuff. We get to step out in things we would never step out in. And then we have to say, well, I trust God in this. How many know what I'm talking about here? This is a real deal in our lives. And it's a real deal in their lives. So the first time Moses goes to Pharaoh, Pharaoh increases the burden on them, saying, even if you think about getting freedom, well, I'm going to crush it in your life. And how many know that that's what the enemy always does? Anything you try to get out of, what does he do? He just crushes you with an attack. So we pick it up. And the Lord says to Moses in Exodus 6:1, then the Lord said to Moses, listen, you've been defeated this one time, but now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh when he feels the force of my strong hand. And we talked a lot about this last week. You want to be released from oppression? You have to have somebody that's greater than the oppressor. That's the only way release comes. He says, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them from his land. And God said to Moses, I am Yahweh the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as El Shaddai. That means God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them. Under its terms, I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. You can be sure that I have heard the groans of the people of Israel who are now slaves to the Egyptians, and I am well aware of my covenant with them. He says, listen, Moses, the people knew the name Yahweh. In Genesis, Yahweh is said 150 times or more. So they knew God, but they knew him as the one who was going to do something. They didn't know him as the one who did something. Everybody in Genesis practically saw God move in little bits in their life. But he says to Moses, they're going to know me as Yahweh, the personal God, the I am God, the one who will know them individually. I've talked to many people that refer to God. Yeah, I know God's out there, but he's not really their God. He's not a personal God. He's telling Moses here, he's going to be personal. And you guys, this group of people, will see him deliver big time. So, first thing we need to look at is, what is our expectations of God? Is he the God out there that might do something, and you heard he did something for other people, and you heard he did this, and you heard he did that? Or is he the God that's personal to you, and he's going to do something in your life, and you will know him differently? When you experience God, you know God differently. You know that he's for you. And what brings it home more than anything else is trouble, is trials, is when you realize it really is. We sang about all I need is Jesus, but you, when you face something that there's no other answer but Jesus, Jesus takes on a different place in your life. So, he says this in verse 3, I appeared to Isaac and, oh, I just read that to you, okay. So, they're going to know him as the one who will personally be with them. And then he tells them 7 I wills. Moses, you need to tell the people this. This is what I will do. For that group, for those people, he says this, therefore say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. I am going to do this. I will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people. Those are all personal statements. And I will be your God. Then you will know. Then those things happen, their understanding of God goes to a different place. Everybody take a look at the motorcycle. Okay, everybody back. You don't think I will see you guys, huh? It's like this. He says, I will be your God. Back to your paper. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from the oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To them, it was something way in the future. To these guys, it's a real deal. So when God is dealing with you, it's a real deal. Your big challenge is to believe that. He says, I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. Remember who I am. You know what's beautiful about this? Those promises are equally for us. We are told in Romans 8:15 that you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You know, a lot of us, who has ever been a slave to fear? Okay. He says, the spirit I give you, not them, not over there, those people, the spirit I give you attacks that spirit so that you're not a slave to fear. You'll still deal with fear because the enemy's main tactic is always fear. He says, you'll deal with it, but you won't be a slave. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as your own children. And now we call him Abba Father. We call him Dad. Now, that's a different way of knowing God. Yeah, I challenge you today when you pray, call him Dad. Because some of us have jacked up ideas about Dad based on our own human experiences with father figures. Some of us don't, some of us do, but he is Dad for you. And since we are his children, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. We get everything that he's ever given to any of his other kids. We're included in that. You know that? I'm included. They don't list off all the things God gives, and then Joe, let me just give you some advice. I get everything that God's kids get. He says, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, which is his advertisement, which is the things that make God amazing, he says, we must also share his sufferings. Yet what we suffer is nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. So he will, troubles, suffering will cause something to be revealed in us. It will cause us to reveal that we are God's kids. We handle things differently. But know this, there is suffering involved. Why is there suffering involved? Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy that has his own I wills. There is the battle in the heavenly of whose will is going to be accomplished on earth. God's will, we just read seven wills that God said he's going to do. In Isaiah chapter 14, we have five I wills that the enemy said to God that he will cause to happen on the earth. So when you take those two sets of I wills, you have a constant battle. And guess who is the recipients of that? We are. We are. And so what did the enemy say? In Isaiah 14, chapter 14, verse 13, he says this. You said in your heart, you said this is what you're going to do. I will ascend to the heavens. I will be as high as God. I will sit where God sits. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. Stars is oftentimes, it means a couple different things. One, the actual universe. I will sit above all that is created. And stars also refers to the angels. I will sit above all the angels. They are the stars moving in the heavenlies. So he says, I will sit where you sit. I will raise myself above the highest creatures, the angels. And then he says this, and I will sit enthroned on the Mount Assembly on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon, and I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. That is the battle we face. I will remove your oppressors. Satan, I will oppress them so that they will surrender me. God wants to make us free and give us all the heirs, all the things he has. Satan wants to keep us in bondage, to keep us underneath him, to show God, I can be like you. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this mount called Zaphon. Zaphon is in the middle of Israel in the time when they get to the land of milk and honey. It would be in the tribe of Gad, but it sits on the east side of the Jordan River in between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The Jordan River flows through there. Mount Zaphon is on that. It means the hiding place, the gathering place. It was the place of the gods who oppose the God of heaven hold their throne on earth. Just like Jesus said, and the scripture says that God's place will be in Jerusalem. He says, I will be east of that in the mountain higher than that. I will hold that position. Now, Baal is the god of the Canaanites, who are mentioned over 150 times in the Old Testament as the enemies of God's people. They were a fierce, warlike people. Baal, also called Molech, one of the ways he required sacrifice was child sacrifice. Think about our generation and demanding the death. Why? He can lord it over them. So this Baal, also called Molech, was also the guy that Elijah burned and said, bring all the priests of Baal here and I will come against them. It was a powerful place. So Satan is basically saying to God, I will sit on the mountain controlling the people, and I will keep them in bondage. You know why you have struggles? Because we have a spiritual enemy. And that can only be defeated with a power greater than him, which is God. So you need to understand what's really going on. Why did Scripture tells us in Ephesians, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It isn't against black and white, brown and yellow, or any other color. That's a deception to keep everybody fighting. He is the author, of he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. If God says, I want to give them life, he says, I want to take life away. Whatever God says, his will is to go opposite of that. That's one of the reasons we're gathering to pray. We need to pray over and against the enemy who is doing all this stuff in our generation and has for years. So you need to understand that we're very much like Exodus. We're very much like people who live struggling between slavery and freedom. We want freedom. How many of I grew up in this time in our lives reminds me very much of the Vietnam era. I grew up in that time. I was just a little kid, but I grew up there. I was drafted. I had a draft number, but they ended it before I actually had to go. And I was thinking I would run to Canada. I didn't know what to do. And, I didn't know what I would do. It ended in 74 when I graduated in 74. So I was in that last group that for 2 years I had to do the, and all the chaos. I grew up in Santa Ana. I was talking to a dear brother of mine that was a former Black Panther. He grew up 6 blocks from me. I know what it's like to be beat up by black dudes. I know what it's like to be let out of school early so we could beat the high school home in our Catholic little school in Santa Ana. I know what it's like to be beat up in gyms. I know what prejudice is like. Not everybody does, but I know. I know the reverse of it. But it's just the enemy. Because why? If I can keep you down, that lifts me up. That's all the enemy. So you guys, don't be tripping. Don't be tripping. Be bold. This is a great time. This is going to reveal two things. The enemy in our world and see him operate. If you belong to God, the veil of your eyes has been removed. You get to see that this is really a spiritual conflict playing out in the natural. It's also playing in your life because you will see, as the Israelite kids will see, that they are in bondage to stuff in this world. that they have allegiances to things that are not of God that are holding them back. And if we want God to free the big picture, he's got us work on the little picture first. What are you and I hanging on to that is not of God? What do I run to that is not of God, that does nothing but cause destruction? What am I doing? And yet I claim that I belong to Jesus and I'm free. Or am I? So as we move on, we come to this place. Oh, it's still 10:30. I'm going to need someone to help me. What time is it? All right. We're going to jump down to 1 Peter 5:8 if you got your notes. So stay alert, Peter tells us. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he can devour. By the way, if you need to use the restroom, there's a door right there. I see a whole lot better out here. So the Israelites, as a people, when they were turned down, it says they were destroyed. It tells us in Exodus 6:9. After God told them that, don't worry, I'm going to come, I'm going to use a strong arm, I am going to deliver them. Moses goes to the people, and he tells them, don't worry about here. Don't worry about that. Things are still on track. And so he goes, it says, so Moses, verse 9 of Exodus 6, so Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They had become so discouraged, or too discouraged, by the brutality of their slavery. Then he goes back to Moses. Moses goes back to the Lord. So he tells the people that, and none of them believed that they could actually be set free. Because they had been in bondage for so long, and now it's increasing. And they had very little hope to start with, and then it was shattered. Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and tell him to let the people of Israel leave his country. But Lord, Moses objected, my own people won't listen to me anymore. How can I expect Pharaoh to listen to me? I'm such a clumsy speaker. He says, I didn't do it right. I got a history of not saying the right words. Do you ever pray for anybody or not pray for them because you don't know the right words? Like you know, if you don't say it just right, you ever not share Christ with someone or something because you just can't think of the right words? You know, I'm clumsy. Moses still thinks that this power, it resides in him to do it. It doesn't. It resides in God. But they were discouraged because of their cruelty, but that's not the only thing they were discouraged with. And this is my key point for you and I today. Tells them, after Moses tells the Lord this, in verse 13 it says, but the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them orders for the Israelites and for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Well, we don't have any record of what the orders were for the Israelites. Moses was to go back and tell these people something from God, but we're not told what it is until way later in Ezekiel chapter 20, when Ezekiel is having problems with the people again in that generation, hundreds of years later, in trusting God. He reveals something to Ezekiel about what was really going on with the Israelites. And he says this to Ezekiel to give to the people of that time. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. When I chose Israel, and that's the deal. God chooses you. He chose Israel. When I revealed myself to the descendants of Jacob in Egypt, so we know the time frame, Moses' time, I took a solemn oath that I, the Lord, would be their God. Remember, I read the I will. I took a solemn oath that day that I would bring them out of Egypt to a land I had discovered and explored for them. A good land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the best of all lands everywhere. You need to know this about God. Wherever He asks you to go, whatever He asks you to do, He's already scouted it out. He's already ahead of the game. He already knows exactly where He's taking you. You don't know because He wants us to operate in trust. But He knows. You think anything happening today in this world took God by surprise? Do you think your next sin, God's going to go, I did not think Therese would do that. You may be shocked at yourselves, but God isn't. God isn't. And He deals with it too. Listen what He says. He says, I'm going to read verse 6. I took a solemn oath that day that I would bring them out of Egypt to a land I had discovered and explored for them. A good land. A land flowing with milk and honey. That means productive. The best of all lands everywhere. Then I said to them, each of you get rid of the vile images you are so obsessed with. Whoa. This is in Ezekiel talking about the Israelites in Moses' time. That was the order God told Moses to tell to the Israelites. You guys think, is what Moses would have told them, you guys think that the gods of Pharaoh, the gods of Baal, who was a chief god, the god who Pharaoh considered himself to be the brother of the sun god, you think they're more powerful than me. That's the big problem here. And some of us in our generation, we think the government is more powerful than us. This group is more powerful than God. This thing is more powerful than God. That's half the reason we're in fear, and half the reason we struggle in following God is we think the things, the gods of this world are more powerful than the God of heaven. He said to Moses, tell the Israelites that's your problem. It isn't really the cruel bondage. That counts. But what really counts is you don't think I can overcome all those gods. And there was a bunch of them. He says, so when we move forward into the plagues, each one of the plagues is an attack on one of the gods that the Israelites, not only the Egyptians, bowed down to. And so you and I need to look at, am I bowing down to some gods in my life? I want God to do this in my life, but I trust this other thing more. He says, listen, then I said to them, verse 7, each of you get rid of the vile images you are so obsessed with. What are those vile images? Our habits? Our fears? What is it that we're so obsessed with? Facebook? Instagram? The news? What God is directing how I feel every day? And I'm telling you right now, if any of those gods is messing you up, kill the god. And go to prayer. Go to prayer. I tell you what, that kind of stuff messes with my spirit. Doesn't it mess with yours? Messes with mine. And you know what? It makes me mad. It makes me want to, punch some people in the face. And I'm thinking, that's probably not God right there. Then I said to each of them, get rid of the vile images, verse 7, you are so obsessed with. Do not defile yourself with the idols. Quit tearing yourself up with idols of Egypt, for I am your God. But they rebelled against me and would not listen. They did not get rid of the vile images they were obsessed with or forsake the idols of Egypt. And we will see that play out when they actually get delivered in the desert. That's why that whole generation will not go into what God had for them, because they would never trust Him to lead them. They trusted all this other stuff. 400 years of slavery will mess you up. You and I don't get to, we're in our generation. So I don't know what your age is, but if you've believed junk for many years, guess what is easier for you to go to? That. Things that we, you know, that's what a relapse is all about. Going back to a God, because the God I say I trust is too, I don't know. And that, my friends, will hinder us from the freedom God wants to give you. And one of the things God wants to give you today is freedom from fear. Some of us are obsessed with it. Some of us deal with the God of anger, and we're mad at everybody. Some of us are locked into the God of our past, and that stuff plays in our head all the time. What is the God? Some of us are locked into the famous God, the God of money. And money drives everything in our lives, or the lack thereof. Some of us deal with jealousy. Well, we're told the same thing in Romans 12:2 is this generation. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The world you live in, the world I live in. Not the world, the world you live in. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to begin to think differently. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hey, you know, Scripture tells us to do not forsake the gathering together. Now, we have a good crowd today, but I know when we were in the church and many of us didn't come because we didn't want to wear masks and we're not going to tell us what to do, and what you're playing into the enemy's hand. You're playing into that God. The God I know says don't forsake the gathering together, because there's strength in that. There's strength in it. There is something that happens when we gather together. Don't forsake that. Because He says to forsake it? Because someone else says to forsake it? Because it's going to make me uncomfortable? What do you serve, the God of comfort? Where does it say that in Scripture? Listen, we had to throw this thing together. It's been hard. Our team, thank you, team. They worked hard to put this together. And then putting all this stuff up. Get in the mix of the freedom. Get in the mix of the freedom. Some of us walk around and we don't want to get into, you know, we don't want to do it. Well, we'll be bold on a statement in some, you know, anonymous type media. Get involved in the Hope Ministry. Get involved in something. Do something to create freedom. And you know what happens when you do that? You start to change. You start to grow. We start to, you know, I tell you, since we've lost two of our kids, and I've shared it with you before, we get calls on a regular basis from people that lose kids and lose, you know, and that's a whole world I never wanted to go into. This is the thing. When God's going to do freedom for you, He takes you to a world you don't want to go to. That's the way He gets you into it. How many, churches at 9, oh, that's too early. Churches at 11, ah, that's too late. I know. Right? But if God the job calls you, we're in it in a heartbeat. Some of you may be thinking, well, it's not that really important to gather together. That's because you don't get it yet. Do it and see. I don't want to be in the mix. I don't, you know, I've tried to work. You know, I don't like people. I'd like to do something with people, but I don't like people. That's why I got 37 cats. Well, then you need to check yourself. You're a people. There are people who don't like people. I bet that causes problems in your life. That's a weird God to serve. All right. Here's the deal. God goes on to tell Moses in Deuteronomy 7, I didn't put it down for you, but it says this. Moses is talking to God in another time during this same period of time. You know, the first five books of the Bible cover the Exodus. Yeah, you remove Genesis, the beginning of what God does with people, and you go into the next four books, they're all about the Exodus and the tabernacle. So all of that comes at different angles. And in Deuteronomy 7, the Lord is telling Moses, hey, why do you think I called this group of people to be mine? There's not many of them, and they're not that smart, and they're not that big, and they're not that powerful. You know why he called them? I love them. I love them. Why do you think he called you? Did he go, if I got Joe, woo, scored big. But you know what? You'll see some of God's kids that when a celebrity comes to the kingdom, it's like, yes, Jesus, we got one. You think he called them because they were a celebrity? He doesn't care. People all stand on level ground to God. He loves them as their children, as his children. That's why he called them. That's why he calls you. And he loves you not only as your child, he's going to use you. So one of the other things that took place, and this is where I'll close, so if we can get the band back up here, because I want you to know God's attitude towards you. Even, this is how cool God is. Even when he told Moses, I want you to go tell these guys something, he didn't put them on blast. He didn't put them on blast for everybody. It takes a while to figure out what did Moses actually tell the people from the message of God. Why? God loved them. And this is the same thing that God does for you. He doesn't put your stuff on blast for everyone else to know. He will at some point, if we don't deal with it, but he will come to us and say, Joe, brother, Max, brother, you need to deal with this. You need to deal with this. You want freedom, but you're unwilling to deal with this. You're willing to serve this God. You need to kill that thing so you can go into the freedom I have for you. All of us, we've been through exoduses of different kinds, but there's more. There's more. And I think in our generation, the beautiful thing we're dealing with right now is we're realizing that government ain't going to fix us. These people ain't going to fix us. These people ain't going to fix us. This is a time when lots of people, I know the Lord, so I know that he's in charge, but there are lots of people that have looked to those gods and still look to them. You can tell because they're saying, if only those people could change, we'd be good. If only that thing would change, we'd be good. They're still looking in the natural to fix the natural. The natural is messed up. But in Numbers, God told Moses, let me just read it to you. It says in Numbers 6, 23, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, after he took them out of Egypt, after they got their first taste of freedom, God told them, Moses, I want you to pray this blessing over them every day. You are to tell Aaron to pray this in the morning, and you are to tell him to pray it at night over the people. And the people are to raise their right hand to receive the blessing. Why? Because they had to have their minds transformed. They had to know that God was for them. This God that he said in the Genesis, they didn't know. They didn't know the delivering God. You need to know the delivering God, that I am with you. And he said, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, which means to smile. That God looks at his kids and he smiles at them. He smiles. You bring joy to the king. That's his attitude. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. He will continue to give you grace. That's his attitude towards you. He says, the Lord turn his face towards you and he will give you peace. He will settle your restless spirit. Morning and night, he said, Moses, pray this over these people who were so shaky in their lives. And he says, so they will put my name on the Israelites. It is what they wear as their name. You and I, if we belong to the Lord, where our name is child of God. You wear that name. That's the name above any other name you can have. That's the name that the God giver gives to you. And he says, when you pray this, I will come and bless you. I will personally bless you. So we, as co-heirs with them, we get to have that too. So we're going to sing that blessing over you this morning, so that you leave here, I pray, with some peace. You leave here knowing in your heart of hearts that you're okay, because the God who made you is for you, and he loves you. Not because of what you do, but because he loves you. You're worth loving. You're worth loving. And maybe you belong to, you've listened to a God that said you aren't worth loving. That's a lying Philistine God. You belong to the God who loves you. So can we stand? Aurelia and the band is going to sing this over you. You got the words on your paper if you want to sing it too, but I would ask you to raise your right hand. In the Old Testament, that was always the hand of blessing. You would give and receive this today as God's blessing on you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord tells you.